This is the first episode of Double Depresso. I am Ben Turner, and I thought I would record a short introduction about why I've started this podcast. So recently, I've been curious about how mental health is discussed in the arts world and in general, really. So my main goal with this is to help people feel a little less alone, and that maybe you might relate to what some of my guests have to say, and maybe you might have that realization that, oh, somebody else is thinking what I'm thinking. So you will hear conversations that I've had with different people from a variety of backgrounds who share some experiences they've had with some of the things that they are dealing with. Also, none of the conversations are recorded in studios or anything like that. They're mostly recorded in kitchens and flats in Berlin. So if you hear cars driving by or the sound of sipping coffee mugs, you'll know why. But nevertheless, I think it's important that these types of conversations are heard. So I hope that it might give somebody that little bit of confidence to reach out to somebody else and have a chat as well. So, before I play the first episode with my guest Ben Whites, who is another Ben, I wanted to say thank you so much for liking the Facebook page already, and if you haven't done that yet, please do that. And please send me your feedback about the podcast, because that will help me to improve as a host for this, and if you like it, please share it with your friends to listen to as well. So, here is my chat with Ben Whites. Alright, so I'm chatting with Ben Whites, and you are a guitarist and singer from Essex in England. So, what are some of the struggles you have with how you get by being a musician?
Yeah, it's kind of like a part of a kind of a bigger problem. So I wouldn't necessarily say that it is directly related to the music, but naturally that's like a big part of my life, so it affects it in that way. And it's just like coming from a kind of social awareness standpoint of me really sometimes almost like obsessing over people's opinions. And also in social situations, what people really feel like, what's really going on underneath the surface. Of course, we all have like things that we don't kind of come out with, and I feel like, how to put it really, obviously when you're putting yourself out there with something, with music or with art or any kind of public social thing like that, you're kind of putting yourself out there and saying like, judge me, you know. And when I'm going through some kind of times that are maybe a little bit kind of difficult or whatever, that naturally kind of takes a negative spin on everything. So it's like, I'm shit, or everybody who, even the, I mean, like fans aside, but like on a personal level, my friends and people that I know, what do they think of me? That I think they probably have a pretty poor opinion of me, maybe they think I'm a failure, or like, and then it kind of blooms out of control, and then sometimes you're like, and it seems, even now I'm saying this and I'm thinking, people are going to listen to this and they're going to think that I'm a knobhead. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, so already that's just like a kind of, it's the standard kind of setting in my...
Yeah, so they're like the greatest hits, the classic hits of, yeah.
You know.
Do you have, how hard is it to tell yourself that those are true, or, you know, like, to tell yourself that they aren't true?
Yeah, I mean, that's like... That's the weirdest thing about it. I think if you can kind of, I guess you can kind of relate to this as well, where you know it's nonsense, but it's very hard, or can be very hard, to kind of expel that demon, if you will. Like, I'm walking down the street or whatever, or in the studio or whatever I'm doing, just getting off stage after the gig is a perfect example. Oh, everyone hated it, you know. But then somebody will come up to you and say, oh, that was really good, or I really enjoyed that, or somebody will message you and say, oh, I like the new video you've done, whatever. And then immediately you go, oh, they're just saying that to be nice.
Yeah.
They don't really like it. And you find ways to kind of like, you know, that idea that kind of negative opinion of yourself will find its way to kind of like bubble up to the surface, whatever kind of route it has to take. It will kind of make the connections and kind of to reinforce that idea.
These are some of the things that I've noticed in myself with, like, after a gig or, like,
yeah.
or seeing people after a gig who just played and said that was really cool, that you... I've definitely, looking back, you can always pick the situations where I was definitely sort of stuck in my head thinking about how it went, or like, mm-hmm. and not just in a, you know, like in a gig situation or whatever, or a rehearsal or something, but like in any sort of social setting with like how that went or how did this conversation go.
Yeah.
And then seeing it with other people who, if you're talking to somebody and then they're clearly still stuck about how they were thinking about how the gig went, you know, so that we're kind of just stealing all that time away from like enjoying, like kind of being present after a concert or something like that. You're like, yeah, that was good. Exactly. And now I can kind of be like, cool. It seems to be, you know, is that something that we don't talk a lot about? Is that, you know, that overstewing or like the addiction to thinking, you know, like that sort of, you know, so... And, you know, the part of me doing this podcast is to talk about, you know, these thoughts about, you know, in different situations of, like when you, I hope I don't have to have this bad conversation or this, like that's coming up with somebody else or, you know, so.
Do you find yourself kind of like, going through the motions, so to speak, afterwards, where you're just like, people are saying like, oh, that's nice, and you're just going like, oh yeah, thanks, but you're not really kind of engaging with these people at all.
Yeah, like, yeah, and sometimes, it has that sort of element of it being a little bit fake.
Yeah,
that, it could be, there has to be some way to kind of, it seems like that's the norm, is to sort of sit in that sort of, you know, because if you were to change it so drastically, you know, it would be, I don't know if people would be able to sort of accept that sort of, you know, or like, I don't know how they would, you know, how that would go down, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. And as we speak, I just realized I forgot to close the window and we're enjoying the sounds of the bustling Berlin city life. Anyway, but that in terms of how we speak to other people about that is something that still we have to, I think the ground needs to be broken there of how, you know, like how do you stop the thinking after, you know, and do the people you work with or play with ever talk about, oh, how do I, like, do you find that there are other people who also have these kinds of thoughts as well?
Yeah, I think like, I think everyone has them to an extent.
So why do you think it's hard for people to talk about, you know?
It's like, it's the classic kind of package that you're sold, you know, this like, when you get involved in music or, I mean, I can only kind of really speak for myself, but like, musician thing and everything, you want to be like, in the ideal situation, it's kind of like Hollywood type thing, you know, like, oh, you know, we're playing these gigs and it's great and everyone likes the music and I'm really happy with what I'm doing and I'm living this kind of lifestyle and blah, blah, blah. And that's just the way it's always been. So I think everybody just thinks, oh, this is the established kind of norm to be happy, be really like free living and enjoying my life and all this kind of stuff. I'm not allowed to express my dissatisfaction, or if I do, I'm going to be rejected by my peers or seen as like a bit of a dry lunch or whatever. Do you know what I mean? So, I think I've got some close friends who have kind of like devoted their life to music and struggled with a lot of these kind of things and like the frustration as well. You know, but they talk to me about it, or we have conversations about it because we're close friends. But it's like, it's not like a kind of well-known fact, you know, which is kind of the interesting thing about the podcast series, you know, it's like kind of breaking down that kind of taboo, I guess, which is really important, I think.
Yeah, and it's so hard to, like, when you're saying to yourself that, oh, this is ridiculous, yeah. I'm having these thoughts, but also even in the process of doing that, it's so hard to get to that place of eventually accepting that as well in its actual practice, you know?
Yeah.
And then how our brains work in that sort of confusing way to mm-hmm. think, like, why is it doing this? You know, if it were only a little bit more simple, that it would. Why is it adding to the, you know, putting twigs on the fire to make things worse? Yeah, and then, did you think with it, in terms of these thoughts as well? So is it a bit like you'd have peaks of it, and then maybe it would go like it wouldn't be so bad, and then it would be bad again, and then it would be so bad, or anything.
Yeah, I reckon. I didn't. But thinking about it now, I never thought about it like that. But you're probably right. It was always there.
Mm.
It was interesting that it was like often tied into like this relationship, you know.
Yeah.
Which perhaps was like a source of insecurity for me
mm-hmm.
for whatever reason. At this time. But yeah, it would definitely intensify in certain situations, like in a club or, you know, when I was in an altered, compromised state, should we say?
Yeah.
But yeah, probably, but not. No, I wouldn't say like I really felt this kind of cyclical thing particularly.
And what are some of the methods or like coping mechanisms you had to help you get through some of that, those darker?
Well, good patches? Question. I had like a complete detox, like stopped.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of had to remove myself from the situation and recognize the relationship between these two factors, you know.
Yeah.
This, me doing this is adding to this, not necessarily the cause of this problem, the source of this problem, but it's adding to it, it's intensifying it.
Mm.
So step one, I just completely cut that out.
Mm.
completely. For a long time. And then like, to be honest, I don't really know. I don't think it's gone away at all. I think it's still there. I'm still kind of, you know, struggle with the issues from time to time. Like leading up to this gig, for example, that we played last night, we had a couple of rehearsals that weren't quite going to plan, and I was like, couldn't sleep very well, and was just having the classic, and yeah, I'm sure you have. I think we all have this kind of like, I might just give up and do something else. Do you know what I mean? That, and it's always there. It's almost like an ejector seat button that you can kind of press at any time. And like,
yeah.
The pressure. I mean, I imagine it's even more so in classical music because it feels like you were saying, sort of quite institutionalized, quite kind of intense kind of atmosphere of you must do this thing, almost like militarized.
Yeah.
Kind of. And it's that feeling of like achieve. And if you give up, then it's not a problem anymore. Like if they listen to this, they'll probably laugh. But my mates wrote a song, and it's like old post hardcore band like years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a line which I really liked. It was, with no ambition, there can be no failure.
Yeah. Well, that kind of
probably sounds... laugh. If they hear that, but,
yeah. Well, you know, that's the thing. I really find it interesting talking to people who also have already thought about quitting as well, because there's something in there that's interesting and that are still stuck to it, but like they're thinking, oh, this is, I don't know if I should keep doing this, because I've been living on the smell of an oily rag for, you know, like too long now. I've got to sort this shit out, you know. And but still, there's still something that they can't quite get away from, you know, to me, there's something, you know, that I wouldn't say drive, but it's a type of drive, but like a connection that they can't feel like they have to completely cut away, and that, you know, and, you know, maybe that it gets harder to realize that unless you've had a bit of sort of that darker patches first. So maybe if we were just kind of, you know, coasting along at, you know, beige for, you know, a setting of beige for, you know, like years, that then maybe it could be, you know, maybe people would just quit. But like, if you've had those real troughs, that maybe that, you know, that upswing can really kind of kick you back into it.
Yeah.
And When do you think that some of these struggles have helped you creatively with what you've been doing?
In the most kind of obvious way, just coming out of songs.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, maybe not directly. I haven't written like I'm really paranoid kind of song.
Yeah, yeah, right. Yeah.
But that kind of feeling and just the emotions that kind of come with it, you know. Like, I think obviously as a songwriter, I think everybody writes in a different way. Some people are very like kind of literal and really write, like Leonard Cohen or something like that, who writes like, you know, 50 verses for Hallelujah and chooses the best eight or whatever it was he did. So I wouldn't necessarily consider myself like that. Wish I was, it'd be awesome. But just the general, kind of like battle hardened a bit.
Yeah.
Feel a bit more, like you're saying, with this like these kind of troughs and peaks, you know, it's totally like that, the kind of feeling of, oh, you know, we sorted that out, we got through that, like, it's okay.
Yeah.
My relationship as well, you know. Kind of like, I was going through a really crazy time where I was like, wasn't writing music at all actually for a long time before all this happened, because of something else, which maybe we can talk about later. So I kind of like wasn't writing for ages, and then you like get back into it, and then you remember, oh, I didn't write for all that time. Then when I came back into it, I wrote as the greatest stuff that I was really happy with, really proud of. So there's no reason why next time you go for a bit of a murky patch or whatever, you can't kick on again. It's like that.
Yeah.
Every time it gets, theoretically, gets easier, I suppose.
Yeah.
I suppose.
Yeah, sure. And are there any other, like, who are some of the artists who, I guess, who have you found some connection with in terms of maybe they've been public about some of the, some similar things as well? Are there any specific names that you can really relate to, you know, idols that you've looked, that have been like, yeah, that's exactly kind of very similar to, you know, like they've been public and expressing that as well, or like, that you found, you know, some parallels with?
Tom York, probably.
Oh, yeah.
Like Radiohead.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're definitely all like one of my favourite bands. And Tom York himself is obviously like not everybody's cup of tea. He can come across as quite kind of, I don't know, a bit of a dick,
basically. Depends on the day for a little.
Depends what day you come across him. But it's interesting in some of his songs, like How to Disappear Completely off Kid A. Is kind of talking about this like social anxiety and I'm not here, this isn't happening, you know, all this kind of stuff. Like, I think it was when, I think they're on tour with, I can't remember the exact backstory. Some other influential artist who, maybe David Byrne or one of the guys from REM, anyway, they were chatting with Tom, who was like having real kind of anxiety before he went on stage. He was like having panic attacks and all this kind of stuff, and he just was chatting to one of these guys, and they kind of taught him or explained to him about this way to kind of, you know, take yourself away from the situation a bit. I guess it's like meditation almost in a way. Through that, and then also on the new album, there's a song called Glass Eyes, which is really like upfront, very personal, very like he's just exposing himself basically. He's talking about like, it's like, hey, it's me, just got off the train, something, faces all look the same. Should I book another ticket and go back home? Basically, he's like, I've just got this train, I don't know where the hell I am. I don't know anybody, I'm freaking out. I just want to get out of the situation. Maybe I'll just cancel whatever it is I'm doing and go back to where I was, my like, kind of safe space or whatever. So, yeah, he's definitely one person who I can kind of, on some levels, relate to. Not on all, because I love him in many ways. Obviously, he's a bit of a belligerent twat sometimes. But that's kind of also honest in a way, you know.
Well, I think, you know, that's I think an interesting idea for people who are going to be listening to this, whoever the people outside honking horns, or who are really just can't wait to hear another episode of this, some examples of other artists or musicians, and a chance for us to talk about music or whatever, who you think is also putting out stuff that is similar, like who they describe some similar experiences in their music or in their writing or in their like acting or whatever medium it happens to be. Cool. Okay. And, when, like, So first of all, when did you form sort of your current group as well that you're playing with?
Oh, this one. We started playing together spring this year, like kind of April time, I guess. I'm trying to remember now. We had our first gig was in July, so around like kind of April, May time. So it's relatively new, but we've all played with each other in the past, individually. Like I've played with the guitarist before, the guitarist has played with the drummer before. Mm-hmm. I've played with the drummer and the drummer's played with the bassist, so we all kind of we know each other musically, just not as a group. So.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still quite, we're still kind of on our way, but kind of early days, but it's going pretty well. Yeah,
and how did you first all meet each other as well? Because I think it's interesting to how you end up actually associating with the people that you end up playing with.
It's a bit of a long kind of weird chain. So when I first moved here, I found it quite difficult to find work, like many people do. It's classic, like kind of, you know, kind of wide-eyed and optimistic, and then realised, there are all these things, and I just moved out from my parents' house, like I moved straight here as well, so there's all of that going on, all of like, my washing doesn't magically appear in my cupboard, and all this kind of stuff, I have to pay for things that I never paid for before, like toothpaste and all random shit, you know. So all of that, like, learning to live independently was going on at the expense of my housemate a lot of the time, bless him. And then all this kind of like stuff, and I was like, shit, I need to get a job, so I started busking. And I met a really good friend of mine called Cameron, who's also from the UK, and he hadn't been there that long either, in the busking queue to get your permits. You have to get them from like Steglitz, like way down in the south, at like a ridiculous hour. You have to be there at like 5:30 or something.
Right.
And you get your stations for the week and all this, you know. Yeah. So it's a real like ragtag bunch down there, you know, all the accordion players and everything. And we just kind of sniffed each other out as like a fellow English person. And yeah, he was playing in a band with the guitarist, and that kind of social core was kind of formed at that time around those people, you know. So then it kind of just went on from there, like playing gigs, just getting involved in the scene. The music scene is a bit weird, I think, like, I don't know how you feel about that.
It doesn't ever really kind of go to plan, but also you're wanting, you know, something comes up, but also something doesn't come up, and then you're thinking is going to come up. And you brought up a good point just about terms of unemployment as well. I think that, you know, I think a lot of people can relate to that in any creative background as well. You know, and then whatever form that takes, whether it be like a month or a year or 10 years.
Yeah.
And I remember hearing this really good quote from this comedian. His name's Greg Berendt. He said, like, you know, it's very common, you know, like I might not go to work next week. I might not even go to work in 2016. I mean, you know, like, it's just very much, you know, like, it's that real that, you know, like, I might not go to work at all next year, or, you know, like, you know. So, and that, these are pretty, you know, they're real, you know, real situations, you know. And I think maybe, to come back to what we've been talking about. So do you think sometimes those periods of unemployment maybe had made some of the unwanted thoughts a lot worse as well, like when you're thinking, like, you know, I'm sure that has for me as well, you know, when you're just like, when you've got a lot of free time, that it's very easy to, you know, just to, like,
in a way
it's kind of almost comforting, because you're like, oh, I get something to do, you know, like, and you're like, oh shit, you know, I've got to do something better with my time, you know, so
beating down myself,
yeah, absolutely.
yeah definitely. I think like so much value is placed on money as well. It's a classic thing to say, isn't it, but like, and it happens to me all the time, like, what do you do then, apart from music? Like, what do you mean? You know, and the thing is, I don't actually have a job, so I work as a tour guide as well, so I'm a tour guide. And it's quite funny, on the tours, people go, oh, what else do you do?
Yeah.
And it's like, you can't be making that much money with this, or you must be making, I mean, of course, people need to make money to live, you know. But there's always that, like, it's a hobby until we make money, and then it's work, kind of thing, you know, which is not fair at all. because the amount of work that we put in, is mad. You know, if we could, we're getting paid by the hour, I think we'd all be doing pretty well.
Yeah, and that's the thing as well. Like, depending on which city you're in as well, it can get even worse further down. You know, where there are people who, you know, you walk past someone with a violin who could almost be like, you know, maybe they're like the concertmaster of a big name orchestra or something like that, and they're getting in some, you know, some good money coming in, and then some are like completely ignorant, unknown person's like, so what else do you do? And, you know, and just completely...
I just want a BAFTA last night, mate.
Yeah, don't worry about it, you know? Like, just the completely oblivious to, to some of the realities of, you know, of pursuing these types of, you know, of these careers, and then...
Yeah,
and then there's, like, all of that, the sense of worry about everything. You're, like, worried about... the next gig, but also worrying about whenever the next gig's coming as well, you know, so like that, or
that's
just,
the biggest worry, I think.
And that's where, you know, like, it can obviously spiral when, you know, you start, it's hard to kind of, you know, get out of just the one, what, sometimes looking one day ahead's a bit too much, you know, so you're just like, oh, you know, so when, like with the group of people that you're working with now, so how do you find, like, in terms of like getting the most out of like working with other people, what do you find is the best way to relate, like to work together, like some of the things that you think are really important to having a good, like a good communication in a group as well? What do you think is important?
And this is again something which is quite difficult for me personally. I think, like, a very clear level of honesty is really important, because it is basically there is no because, I guess, like, and in our band we have a nice dynamic and we get on really well and we hang out, you know, and it's cool. But there will be times, although, like, the majority of the songs are written by me, it's definitely like a group projects, like, we arrange the things together, usually in the room, or the drummer and I will sit down sometimes and work on some stuff together too, and he's written a couple of the choruses of a couple of songs as well. So I think, like, openness and, like, honesty is really, really important, and I personally struggle with that, because, like I was saying earlier, I have this, like, obsession with kind of, like, social harmony. I don't like confrontation. I get twitchy if I know that there's some, like, tension in the situation, which naturally there's going to be when it's, like, especially musicians, like, with bunch of divas as well, like, although we're quite good, but there are going to be times where the disagreements, there are going to be times where, you know, somebody is playing something in a certain way and they're really into it but it doesn't fit, or you know, somebody's late or whatever, and that's a time where you have to be really, like, you have to trust in the strength of your relationship to give them a bollocking, or, you know, be very honest with them, just be like, listen, man, like, ABC, whatever, is annoying or is pissing me off, or we can't do that or whatever. And trust them to take it in the right light and not take it personally.
Yeah.
That's, like, really important, I think. And just apart from that, just, like, having fun as well. Like, been in projects before that have been, like, really incredible music, but really, like, work. You know? This is it. We're doing this now. You know, we're practicing all the time and all these, like, conversations going on about everything, every time, which is good in some way, but it's, like, really draining the other. I think it's important. So I try to keep things quite, like,
light. And, absolutely, yeah.
You know.
But so, it's, like, you mentioned two pretty good points there, and both of them are a bit, like, sort of rubber band situations. Like, the first one being, like, you know, you want to either be honest, but also you kind of want to, you know, keep up the, you know,
kind of good vibes at the same time. Yeah,
exactly right. You know, and just seeing how, which way does the band, you know, which way to pull. And then the other one is, that obviously enjoying, like, what you're doing as well. You know, that's the thing that I've noticed a lot, where it seems like, you know, sometimes the higher the standard goes in something, like, the more, like, around the actual time commitments of whatever they're doing, they're just unhappy people. Like, you know, a lot of, like, you know, and it's just... It's that, you know, like, not with everybody, obviously, but, like, you know, there's a lot of, it seems to, that intense, and the intensity of that situation to get a higher standard can just affect, you know, those other parts of, you know, of your day and your, you know, the rest of your time, you know? So, yeah, that's a good point. And I think, you know, that the more that people talk about actually having those sort of crossroads of, oh, do I say that I'm feeling like shit when I'm doing this, or do I say that everything's perfect and I'm having a good time.
Because you have to try and communicate that to the audience as well, like from a performance point of view. Well, there's some people who can do it and it kind of works, that kind of like, you know, they hate this or whatever. That's part of some people's show, I guess. But people are going to really feel it if you're not in a good mood, even if you think you're hiding it sometimes. Like, you're not.
Cool.
Not very well.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Cool. Well, thanks so much for chatting. Yeah. And if people want to check out what you do, where should they find you?
They can find me on Facebook. It's Facebook.com/ Ben White's Music. It's spelled WUYTS.
Mm-hmm.
I know, it's weird. And they can also find me on SoundCloud.com/ Ben White's.
Mm-hmm.
And all of those things, basically. And yeah, we'll be playing around. Got a few. Just going to start recording soon, so there should be some new EP/album on the way very soon as well. So.
Sure, I'll put some written links into whenever this goes up. So, and if whoever is listening to this happens to be in Berlin, I'm sure they can come check you out.
Yeah, they're more than welcome.
Cool. Thanks so much for chatting.
Hey, thanks, Ben. Real pleasure.
No worries.